biblical stories that contain supernatural elements, like this morning's, make it difficult for their modern readers to hang in there with them. That's because when we encounter those stories, our minds typically go in one of two directions. Either we dismiss them directly, telling ourselves that since the stories defy the laws of nature as we understand them, that they couldn't have happened, so they have no value. Or we dismiss them indirectly by becoming obsessed with what the details of the stories were symbols or codes for. So obsessed that we spend all our time culturally deciphering them and ignoring their meaning. Either way, a tragedy occurs, for we become so consumed with trying to figure them out that we completely miss their point. So, on this Transfiguration Sunday, when we hear an account of a time when three members of Jesus' inner circle had an extraordinary moment of understanding and insight, I want to challenge you to stay present to the story. And in doing that, maybe see what elements of that story might have wisdom that can guide us through the challenges of our upcoming Lenten journey. So hear now Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36, as read from The Message. About 8 days after saying this, Jesus climbed the mountain to pray, taking Peter, John, and James along. While Jesus was in prayer, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became blinding white. At once, two men were there talking with him. They turned out to be Moses and Elijah, and what a glorious appearance they made. They talked over Jesus' exodus, the one he was about to complete in Jerusalem. Meanwhile, Peter and those with him were slumped over in sleep. When they came to, rubbing their eyes, they saw Jesus in his glory and the two men standing with him. When Moses and Elijah had left, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, this is a great moment. Let's build three memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He blurted this out without thinking. While Peter was babbling on like this, a light, radiant cloud enveloped them. As they found themselves buried in the cloud, they became deeply aware of God. Then there was a voice out of the cloud. "This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him." When the sound of the voice died away, they saw Jesus there, alone. They were speechless, and they continued speechless, said not one thing to anyone during those days of what they had seen. Thus ends the sacred reading. So, did you stay present to the story and find an element that grabbed you? I'm sure if I were to survey the entire congregation this morning, there were probably at least a half a dozen of such moments. But for the sake of time this morning, I want to lift up one that presents a powerful challenge for us this Lenten season. And that piece has to do with how we respond to the holy moments in our life. In the story, we are told that Peter responded to his holy moment by offering to build three memorials. Now, that response in context makes perfect sense, for most religious people of Peter's day would have done exactly the same thing. For Jews of his day had grown up hearing the stories of the Exodus and hearing stories of how, when amazing things happened, that people would stop dead in their tracks and erect a memorial or booth to note the occasion. So it would seem only natural that Peter would have responded to the holy in such a culturally conditioned manner. Well, that piece of the story got me thinking. So if Peter responded to holy moments around him by doing what he had been culturally conditioned to do, how might you or I respond to our holy moments these days? and it didn't take long for me to figure that out. We wouldn't have offered to build memorials. No, we would have immediately reached over and grabbed our smartphones and snapped a picture so that we could post it on Instagram or have the world's coolest status update ever on Facebook, right? Well, in exploring just how attached we have become to those smartphones and the cameras they contain, a woman by the name of Jenny Chen noted that in 2017, it was estimated that we snapped 1.3 trillion photos, or memorials, every year. And you know that study is already 2 years old, so by now we're probably pushing 2 trillion pictures. And each of those photos we snap to capture that holy moment come with a cost. We become so attached on visually capturing that moment that we forget to actually be present to it and live it out. Studies have shown that while we may visually attend to the moment with greater clarity in order to get that perfect picture, that visual focus causes us to completely miss out on the other dimensions of the experience, the sounds, the smells, and the texture. Whatever you devote to the visual, Jenny Chen concluded, you can't devote to the other senses. And therein, friends, lies our takeaway from the Transfiguration story. For you see, when we focus on our response to an event, and not the event itself, we pay a heavy price. Even the Gospel of Luke tried to tell us that 2,000 years ago. For in telling the story of the Transfiguration, the very next 6 verses that follow the part we just heard tell us that when the disciples headed back down the mountain, they had an opportunity the very next day to take all of the glory that they had just experienced and to put it into action by healing a boy who had been taken over by a spirit. And you know what happened as a result of their inattentivity? They couldn't do the healing. And Jesus' response? Well, verse 41 tells us. Jesus responded by shaking his head and asking, "How long will I be with you?" And by implication or extension, how many more sacred moments will you miss? All because you want to capture and not live the moment. So, as we prepare to head into this season of Lent, I know that you will be tempted to capture the moments before you with catchy status updates on Facebook, with trendy markers like hashtag incredible journey on Twitter, or through the perfect series of pictures on Instagram. And if you are, resist the impulse to capture the moment and instead do something far better. Be present to the moment and really live that sacred moment that might be unfolding right in front of your eyes. And if you do that, you will have an experience of the incredible glory of God right in front of you. And you will be able to capture that moment in a way that is far deeper, far richer than any picture ever could. For that impression will be captured on your body and in your soul. May the light of God's glory stay with you and radiate not only you and your life, but your corner of the world as well. Amen.